From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And welcome inside the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you. We'll hear from Brian Sexton coming up, senior correspondent. John Osier as well, as always. Jaguars this week, Aaron Colvin is our guest, the great young cornerback from Oklahoma. This or that, we'll play the game between Sexton and Osier. And Jason Cole of Bleacher Report had a Q&A recently with Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles. We'll get Jason's thoughts on that interaction coming up. You can get in on the show at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice. We welcome in our first guest, Jaguars cornerback Aaron Colvin. What is your Twitter, by the way, if people want to get in on you? Are you a Twitter guy?
I am. I'm a Twitter guy.
What is your handle?
It's A. Colvin, or at A. Colvin 14. Actually, it changed. At A. Colvin 22.
The new number.
The new number.
Oklahoma, makes sense.
And you enjoy that. You're on that quite a bit. You're pretty active on Twitter.
I am. I get a chance to interact with my fans and just people back home that I don't get to see a lot.
And you don't mind putting your personality out there a little bit, too, which is neat.
At all. I'm a very confident guy, and I let people know that.
OTA's underway, so in the middle of the second week now. Not a lot, I guess, has changed schematically on defense, but some new faces around, especially in the cornerback room and the defensive back room, a couple of new faces in free agency there. Just overall, how's it been the first couple of weeks?
It's been great. I mean, those two guys that we added, and Sergio and Devon, they brought a leadership role to our room. We're a very young unit, but just with those two guys and the experience that they've had and the success that they've had, it's kind of just, I guess, just relayed to us. So it's great just to go out there and compete with those guys because they expect the best out of us.
I think fans know your story a little bit, Aaron. You were hurt coming in, a very serious injury, obviously, ACL at the Senior Bowl, and then came back and were able to get a good six games in. I guess the first question would be, were you surprised to get that much productivity, and how important was that time for you to have going into this next step? How important are those six games to know, hey, I can do this in this league?
Right. Honestly, I expected that out of myself as far as the productivity. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go out there and actually do more. I wanted to create more turnovers for my defense. I wanted to go out there and just leave that presence felt. And some games I felt like I did. Some games I felt like I could have did more. And that's just how I approach the game every game. I'm always trying to find that weakness.
Now, how much different right now, June 1st, is your mindset, is your upness, for lack of a better word, compared to last year when you said really – it was tough being on the sidelines. It's tough not being involved when you first get to an NFL team.
It's a lot different. I mean, last year I was just trying to get a feel for it. The ACL injury, that was my first major injury. So I was just trying to get used to having an injury and, you know, how to approach it and do those type of things. But this year I'm a lot more comfortable. I'm a lot more comfortable with my teammates. I feel like they respect me a lot more. I just get a chance to bond with my coach, and with me going out there and being able to get practice reps and doing those type of things, he can coach me more than just telling me what I need to do when I get back.
They didn't teach upness at Oklahoma. They taught it at Alabama.
Right? Right. Aaron Colvin is with us. When you played last year, a lot of that was on the inside. In nickel situations, you were like the third cornerback and seemed to get comfortable in that role. That was really – you didn't play that role a lot at Oklahoma, did you?
No, last year was my first time ever in my life playing inside corner. So I was growing every game.
So and moving forward, who knows? You could get a chance to work outside occasionally, right? And you'd be welcome to try that, I'm sure.
Right. Right. That's what I'm doing right now, and they're throwing me from inside to outside. So outside, I mean, that's my home. That's where I've been playing my whole college career. And then inside, I'm still growing. I feel like I'm still growing as a player in both positions. But whatever it is that they ask me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And they let me know that it could be difficult at times. And I just take it as a challenge. I'm going to run with it.
I'm on record saying I think you'll start it outside, but at some point next year, which I'm sure means a lot to you that I'm on record saying that. But Gus this week talked some about the challenge of maybe playing outside some and playing inside some in the same game, the same situation. Rondae Barber, he mentioned, had done that in the past. How difficult is that, and do you embrace that sort of challenge, the idea of playing both roles in the same game?
To be truthful, it's not difficult to me. people tell me that it could be challenging and it's going to be a tough thing to do, but honestly, it's just playing football. I feel like I'm a football player, and wherever you play me, that's my job to go out there and lock them up. And whether I'm inside, whether I'm outside, as long as I'm mentally prepared and mentally ready to go out there and perform at a high level and know what I got to do, then that's all that you got to ask of me. I'm going to go out there and make plays.
Some part of you wants to be outside, right? I mean, that's the place to be, or no? Or but it's sort of changing a little bit. Dave Caldwell's talked a little about you've got to have a guy at the nickel who can play a big-time role the way the league's set up now.
Yeah, with all the offenses that you see now, you got big-time receivers everywhere, and you see big-time receivers in the slot now. So, you know, the nickel position is really growing as far as you got to have one. And I take it as a compliment that they want me inside because you got to be quick. You got to be able to – there's more room in the inside. Mm-hmm. But I can't lie. I do like being on an island sometimes. So, yeah.
Aaron Coleman is with us. Of course, you missed this whole period last year rehabbing the knee. This is fun, right, to be on the field and be in the meeting rooms and be involved and actually have a full preparation for a season coming up. First time ever you'd be able to do that.
It's definitely fun. I get a chance just to grow. Last year you can watch all the film you want to do. You can get in the playbook all you want. But until you get those actual physical reps, especially for me, I don't feel like that you can grow as a player. And right now I'm getting a chance to do that. I get a chance to get critiqued on what I'm doing, and it's not just – I'm in the fire. Now you got to go play and do everything right. Now I get a chance to make mistakes and correct them and be ready for the season.
You feel like you, you know, and does it bother you, or do you look back at the ACL, a fourth round guy? Clearly you weren't a fourth round guy, but does that ever bother you, motivate you that, hey, I want to show people that I was better than that? I know there's no resentment because it happened because of the injury, but it seems like you're a first-round corner waiting to get out, I guess is what I'm saying.
To be truthful, it used to bother me just to have to sit back and watch all the guys that went before me and just hear all these things. But I felt like I grew as a person, not only just within myself, but just being around Coach Gus, being around this staff and the things that they preach, it really stuck with me. And all I can do is control what I can control. And right now I'm just focused on myself. And I know that if I'm the best that I can be as an individual and as a player, then that's all that matters. Everything's going to take care of itself.
Did it make you stronger, the process? Did it make you stronger having to go through that and sort of, I guess, dealing with adversity for the first time?
There's no question. I've went through adversity in my life, but that was one of the more difficult things that I've had to overcome. And with that, the biggest thing I learned was patience and just letting things come to me. I used to be kind of impatient. I got to do this at this time. I got to go get this. I'm about to be a first rounder, so I got to be ready. But, you know, things happen, and it just taught me just to slow down.
I know you can probably name most of the corners drafted ahead of you, but we won't go there today.
Don't go there.
That's okay. Let's go social now. You're a big social guy. This is from Instagram, Mr. DarkCloud314 asking you, if you could cover any wide receiver of all time, who would it be? Who would all be your time. Best challenge?
Well, I got to go against the best. If I want to be the best, you got to go against the best. So I'm going to say Jerry Rice. His route running was tremendous. He wasn't the fastest guy, but nobody could cover him. He always found a way to get open, but I felt like I could cover him.
Another one from Von_the_chosen_one. Who is the most difficult Jaguars wide receiver to stick in practice? Good young group over there, too.
I think the better question would be, has anybody gotten open on me yet?
Oh, I like that angle.
Now I'm playing. don't let me start nothing.
No, you're not.
Start
nothing. Behind every joke, there's some truth.
There's a little bit of truth. Right. But to be truthful with you, Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Marquise, they all present different problems. You got speed, you got route running, and then you got size. So those guys are probably the most difficult.
Well played,
that's
JT.
Nice
well
job.
Played.
Sweet 11 Jones asking, Kobe or LeBron?
Sweet Jones 11, that's my boy from back home. I know that. And he knows I'm all about LeBron, baby. That's my guy right there. So, I mean, if you got something to say about LeBron, then you got a problem with me.
Okay.
So Cavs in 6-5, what do you say?
It's 6 or 7. Steph Curry and the Warriors are too good. Their backcourt's too good.
Yeah, can't LeBron take him with the side? I mean,
oh, they can't stop him. But I don't know if they can stop Steph. That's the problem.
Let's go to Twitter. Bobby Brown at BMFB54 asking, have you talked with Dante Fowler Jr. about the knee injury?
I have. And honestly, Dante's good. There's really not much you need to say to him. His spirits are so high, and you can tell that he just loves the game. So anytime you have a player like that, there's not too much you have to worry about. And, you know, the coaches asked me to go talk to him, and right as I talked to him the first minute, I could tell that I don't need to say anything to you. You're ready to go.
There's always a moment, though, during – or a few moments probably during the rehab process where you're like, man, I can't do this.
Oh, definitely.
Does that come up?
That was definitely a thing that I told him. I told him that it was going to be monogamous, and certain days you're not going to see any gains. Certain days it feels like you're doing the same thing and nothing's happening. But the process is just long. Sometimes it can be excruciating, but it's rewarding at the end.
Let's finish with this social question from Instagram. Elbow70. You might know who that is.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Luke Bowenko, the Jaguars interior lineman. What is your favorite Power Ranger?
Oh, my. I don't even know. I didn't even watch the Power Rangers like that, so I don't have one.
I guarantee you, Bowenko still watches it.
He's watching it right now.
He's weird. I don't.
He probably got the idea from an ongoing television.
So, let's explain this. Why is Bowenko weird? You said he's a freak.
Have you talked to Luke before?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Then you know. He's just... That's the clumsiest guy I know, but he's the funniest guy I know. That's my boy right there. I don't want to say this impolitely, but that's my white brother right there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's polite.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Well done, man, as always.
Appreciate it.
Great to see you.
Great to see you guys as well.
Aaron, fantastic. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.
Aaron Colvin, Jaguars cornerback, the young man from Oklahoma, joining us here on Jaguars.com Live. Get more in 2015. Jag season tickets are on sale. Become a season ticket member. Get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000 today. We welcome in senior correspondent Brian Sexton and Aaron Colvin. You know what? He's great in a situation like this. He's great on the football field, too, in the short time we've seen him. But
he's a go-to guy for me in the locker room during the week.
He's got it.
Because he has great perspective. For a guy who didn't get going until November and only played, six, seven, eight ball games, by the end of the year, he was really able to describe what was happening out there. Does it in a stand-up manner? I think the world, in fact, that might be one of the plum picks in Dave's 3 years here.
Mm-hmm. For a young player to have his sort of perspective, and I go back, I always say this about rookies, I don't expect very much from them the first year. I expect a lot of mistakes. I thought it was remarkable with very little practice time how he came in and played at a high level, sort of forced them to put him into the lineup and even work him a little bit on the outside, which I don't think they were planning to do. His performance on the field has dictated that they need to get him in the lineup at certain spots. Very impressive for a young player.
Clearly the adversity that he faced gave him some perspective.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, Brian. Maybe one of the plum one or two picks of this era so far.
We were talking about this a little bit earlier off the air, Brian, but some of the history of the defensive back room for the Jaguars. Rasheen Mathis stands out to you. Darius stands out to you. But is this group as a whole, I know it's very young and before the season has started, so we're kind of guessing a little bit, is this as deep of a defensive back group as there have been around here?
Well, I mean, Gus said it himself the other day. You know, they got eight guys back there that they're talking about and lots of cornerbacks. And as I go back through the years, there were moments where you had some players playing at a high level. I mean, 1998, Aaron Beasley was an excellent cornerback, intercepting passes, taking fumbles back for touchdowns. Did it in the first day of, 99-2 against San Francisco. So, I mean, they've had some guys. They had Brian Williams, the cornerback that they brought in when they had Rasheen. I mean, they've put some good secondaries together. But if these guys all play to the level that they're expected to play, no, this would be the deepest secondary that I've seen in 21 years.
Potentially. I mean, it's still a group that obviously we're talking about it. In their second year last year, I don't know that they would all tell you they played to their potential. It certainly has the potential with the draft status, with Colvin, with Ciprian, who I think is going to have a better year this year than he did last year. It's got the potential, but it's still got to work toward that.
Well, you go bring Devon House in now, right? And you've got him competing with, and you look at the salary. Obviously, you say, well, he's not here to be a backup. He's not going to play nickel. He's an outside guy. But Colvin goes out and plays so well that people are saying, well, maybe he should be competing with either House or Demetrius McCray. So, that, I mean, there's three guys right there. You've got Dwayne Grotz, who they have still high hopes for. And then throw in the Reynolds kid, the undrafted kid from Oregon State that they did a lot of work on. You just keep going. There's lots of names. Potential being the key word, but there's lots of names at that position.
They've been wanting that situation for a while at Spots JP, where all of a sudden a Colvin forces them to figure out situations with other good players. It's okay to have more than one good player in one position. I keep saying that, but it's true.
That's quite a thought around here,
well,
though. You know,
it's important to start getting depth and to start having these positions forced by what's going on the field.
It's time for a game we call
This or That. This or That.
I think, Osher, you broke the losing streak last week.
You know, can I offer something up? Could we get like
sure.
a web poll or something?
Does it matter
for the
if I say yes?
Here? Well, I mean, you know, this is not an impartial. I mean, he just throws it out. He goes, Will you win? I mean, I think we need a different scoring system. Even though you won, I'm not complaining that you won last week.
Yeah, it sounds like you are.
I'm just suggesting something a little bit more broad in terms of perspective.
Than this? All right, here we go.
I'm going to shut up.
Yeah, it
actually,
sounds
I'm
like
not.
You're, you know, a little sour grapes. That's okay.
No, there's no sour grapes.
Oh,
I just
the
think
loser it, wants to change the scoring system. Funny how that works.
Well, there is no scoring system. That's my point. It's you.
That you know of.
Well, you show it to me, big boy.
Number one. Are the Jags okay at running back now, or is it still a position that has a question mark?
I think they're better than people think because I think T.J. Yeldon's going to be very, very good. And I think from looking at OTAs and from just looking at his history, I think Toby Gerhardt is going to function much, much better this year. I keep reading about him maybe being on the bubble, being cut. I think he's going to be a very good player for them this year and maybe better than people expect.
You know, I got burned last year because I thought they were okay. Mm-hmm. I thought what they had with Denard Robinson and with Toby Gerhardt gave them something. I mean, it wasn't going to be superstar, but it was going to be something that was meaningful, you know, that could work its way up and down the field. You got to prove it to me still, right? I liked what Gerhardt did in the second quarter of the Titans game here on Thursday night. He really showed some power and ignited that offense, got them, you know, moving. Obviously, I like him as a back out of the back, mm-hmm. that he showed his ability to catch the ball. Robinson had those three great games, right, in a row. Cleveland, Miami, got to look at my notes
Dallas,
here.
Cincinnati. Cincinnati, right.
You know, where he was right on the cusp. And then he had the three games, you know, Dallas and Indy and the Giants, where the numbers started to decline. They're talking about him as a kick returner. So, obviously, you know, there's some question, what does he do? Yeldon, you heard Greg Olsen talking about him yesterday. I mean, a guy with a lot of pro potential. I want to see it.
Oh, that's a tough one. What is the scoring system?
Yeah, right. Exactly what I'm talking about. Hello. You people out there watching should be able to click on a poll and vote. Power to the people.
Brian Sexton is the winner in question
well,
one
you
because
know, maybe
he's
not.
Crying a little bit.
Maybe
number
I'm
two.
Okay with the scoring system all of a sudden.
The Miami newspaper named Zane Beatles as a trade possibility for the Jaguars. Here's the question. If you could trade Zane Beatles, would you?
Well, I would say no because I've been going back for a couple of years. The old thing, it's okay to have more than one good player at one position. If Zane Beatles doesn't start, I don't see what's wrong with having a guy who's got a lot of starts as a backup for a while. People get hurt in the National Football League, and you've got to have players who can play to come in and take their place. This team's been too thin for too long. I say no.
See, now, I love the fact that someone's looking at your roster for the first time and saying, there's a player I want. Obviously, in Miami, they do not have a proven left guard. And they're looking up here and they're reading the stories, maybe one that you wrote on .com about Cam. Well, I would, right? Hopefully that gets me another point. And in Denver, right, they just lost Ryan Clady. So now they've got one offensive lineman, you know, from last year. You look to Jacksonville and say, well, there's Zane Beatles down there in a competition. Maybe we can go and get him. You've got names and you've got numbers on that offensive line, kind of like cornerback, where you've got guys competing. And you've got the roster salary cap room to be able to do this if you choose. I'm not saying right now, oh, absolutely, trade him. Let the competition play out, but don't be scared to trade him if it comes through. The fact that anybody's looking at your roster, when was the last time anyone did that around Jacksonville and said there's a guy there that could start for us? It's been a while.
Good point, but John gets the point.
Hit up that tiebreaker.
You need some, depth. Number three. We're talking defense now. What is the mark of an improved defense for the Jaguars in 2015?
Well, I think more turnovers, and I think that's going to be tough to get. I think it's very gettable, but it's going to be tough to get because I don't know that the pass rush is going to be able to match the sack numbers. This team needs pressures. It's going to have trouble getting pressures with Dante Fowler hurt, but it's certainly a case where if this team can create more turnovers, get some pressure, then the defense is going to be a lot better. So I say turnovers.
I get to see a better run defense, and I'm not even just talking about yard per carry average, which is a key one. They were 4.1 last year, which was 12th best in the NFL. I've got to see a team that can stop the run when they have to. Go back to the fourth quarter, the Philadelphia game, right? Game's 17-14 Jags, opening drive of the fourth quarter. Here comes Sproles up the middle for 10, and then outside for 6, and then they give it over and hand it to
McCoy.
He goes for 5, and then Sproles goes for 6. All of a sudden, they tied the game at 17, and they keep running it down. Well, that was when they had Paul Posluszny, right? Late in the season, the two Texans games in week 14 and week 17, they carry it for 39 and 43 times, right? They keep giving it and giving it and giving it. And in both cases, the Jaguars were close at halftime. Here, they led 13-10. There, they trailed 14-10. They ended up losing 23-17 and 27-13. The difference was they couldn't stop Arian Foster. If you can't, they have a bad quarterback situation in Houston. The Jags couldn't take advantage of it because they couldn't stop the run. Now they've got Posluszny back. They think they're better with Skuda. They've got, you know, Michael Bennett in there to help until Cedric Marks is back, and they think they're better with Audric. Better be better against the run.
To me, it's sort of the same thing. I think you have to be good against the run to get the turnovers I'm talking about, but I still say turnovers.
You hedged your argument. He did so much research, and the depth of that research gets you the win today. Brian Sexton is your winner in this or that.
I'd like to thank the Academy. Well, wait, you people didn't get a vote, but I'll take this one this week. I'm still pushing for you.
Well done.
Thanks.
As always, good to see you. Brian Sexton joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Hey, join us next couple weeks away now. The Jaguars will be on the field for the last time before the dead period, Thursday, June 18th, 11 a.m. to 1:20 p.m. It's the mandatory minicamp, the final day of it. Free parking available in lots M and N on the west side of Everbank Field. Register for free tickets, jaguars.com/veteran minicamp. Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank, rolls along.
A little bitter over the outcome of that, but
it's okay.
I'll push through.
I think you'll be okay, John.
Yeah,
let's go to the phone line now and welcome in our next guest today. From BleacherReport.com, NFL analyst Jason Cole is with us. He had a recent Q&A with Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles. Jason, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
No problem. I'm good. What's going on with you guys?
Oh, you know, OTAs roll along now, so we're about halfway through the OTA cycle and then the mini camp coming up. But going over this Q&A with Blake, what your initial thought sitting down with Blake, where's his head right now going into year two?
Well, I'm not sure where his head is, but I did find that he went along with the party. He had a good time in discussing this, and he seemed to be very positive and upbeat. I think this is a guy who understands, look, some of it's his own fault, some of it's injury, some of it's circumstance. He's not dwelling on it, which is probably wise. I didn't see a guy who was terribly overwrought, but a guy who was looking forward to what he's got, you know, what he's got coming up this season. And I think that's general, and that'll get him the right direction. It'll just be a matter of finding out, can he really play or not? And that's ultimately the question you're trying to answer.
You talk to more quarterbacks than I do. Jason, John Osier, good to talk to you. I appreciate you joining us. But
good. How do you, John? What's going on?
Not a lot, but you talk to more quarterbacks around the league than we do. I've been struck by Blake's, willingness to talk about his own mechanics and to talk about his flaws. Does that matter? Is it good to hear a guy who sort of accepts what he has to do to get better and sort of knows it? I mean, there's no self-denial with this guy, certainly.
No, I'd rather have a guy who owns a problem and knows how to fix it. I mean, he sounds like he knows how to fix it. He sounds like he understands exactly what he needs to do. He sounds like he's not unrealistic about where he's at, and I prefer that to people who are sort of in denial and only willing to talk about it when they're in the most private moments and they don't want to talk about that publicly. I was pleased with where he's at, but again, words sort of don't matter. At the end of the day, is can he actually fix whatever it is that was wrong, and can he make the progress that he and everybody else is talking about? And you hope so, because, you know, failure is not interesting to write about. So I certainly hope that the kid, you know, figures it out, you know, somewhere along the line. I just don't know whether it matters to talk about it or whether he's like somebody else who can't own it.
Jason Cole is with us from BleacherReport.com, NFL analyst. To that a little bit, one of your questions for him was all the voices trying to fix those mechanics, a throwing coach, Tom House, the former pitcher, a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback's coach, a lot of new in this kid's head. So how do you kind of sort things out? And what was your reaction to what he said to that question?
Well, again, I think he knows how to sort out what he's been told that he needs to do by, you know, Greg Olsen and the people within the Jaguars and what he started working on at the beginning of last season with a different offensive coordinator. I think he knows what that is, and he's focused on, you know, he's very aware of it. So what people are talking to him about, he gets. I'm just one of these people, and I think that this is an interesting subject that the NFLPA needs to talk to the NFL about in terms of development of players, where that whole early part of the year, you know, the March, February, March, early April time when guys can't be with their teams and can't work with them, and then they go off and they do work with the Tom Houses of the world, or the other one is in San Diego. But, you know, all these guys who are private throwing coaches, experts, I really worry about that. And because when you instruct somebody, it's really important to take them through a series of things that they're working on, and then you come up with like a little short phrase to get them back on that track. And I always relate it to when I would teach kids how to hit in baseball, and you'd eventually give it, you know, boil it down to three or four words to remind them of this process of all the little mechanical things that they have to do. And so that was my way of talking to kids and coaching them. And I don't think it's a whole lot different at the NFL level. You're trying to say, okay, what is Tom House saying to Blake Bortles in March that we need to remind him about September when his mechanics start to go? Because, look, the bullets are live. You know, people are starting to hit him. This is difficult just to, you know, get through a game plan. What's that little phrase that we use to remind him of? And is Greg Olsen using it properly? Is Blake Bortles hearing it properly? That it's just sorting again. So, and I just wonder. And you only find out when people actually go through that process.
Is it a case, Jason, where the NFLPA and the NFL maybe was trying to do the right thing by making sure they had time off and maybe just missed it a little bit?
Well, I think that there's a way to solve it where there can be contact. Like, what I would think is a good solution, because, you know, coaches are obviously, if you say, okay, you get to talk to your players in March, you know, they're going to work with them endlessly. There are very few coaches who are going to back off. Okay. We all know that. Okay. Because that's what they do. They think that they can solve every problem that a player has, instead of sometimes saying, look, he's just going to go work it out on his own. I've told him everything I can tell him. But I think that, you know, now with this sort of little subculture of these private coaches, it's okay, but you really need to make sure that those guys work in concert with your own staff. Solution is probably, okay, take that video of Tom House working with Blake Bortles. And in this day and age, you can send that video probably within 10 minutes after you're done with a throwing session. And you can send it to Greg Olsen and have Greg hear what Tom House is working on and, you know, hear what he's saying to Blake Bortles and how Blake is responding to it. And Olsen can study that on his own. And then he can probably talk to House and say, hey, make me understand what you're trying to teach Bortles, or, hey, I told Bortles this. What do you think about what we're doing? So there needs to be a little bit more cooperation. if a guy is going to go off and work. I know that the 49ers were really thinking about sending Steve Logan, because before they hired Logan, they really wanted to send him down to Arizona to observe what Colin Kaepernick was doing with Kurt Warner. They ultimately decided against it because they didn't want the NFL to be upset that they went around the collective bargaining agreement, but they definitely thought about it. And again, you know, instruction is great, but the idea of too many people in somebody's head can be really, you know, it can make everything go backwards. And again, I go back to Little League, and you'd be a Little League coach, and then everybody had their private hitting coach, and it's like, well, what are you teaching him on how to hit versus what I teach him? Like, how does that work? That was always my question.
Jason Cole's with us from BleacherReport.com. The Q&A with Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles is up now. You also visited recently with Anquan Boldin. What's next for you, Jason? What's coming up?
Well, Vincent Jackson, I went over to Tampa. I've been in Green Bay, talked to Clay Matthews, spent some time with Mike McCarthy. We're talking to Matt Forte and a bunch of other people. Spent a little time with Aaron Rodgers yesterday, so... And it's just along the road trying to talk to everybody you can during the off season, get a little time with everybody. So I've got a few of these coming up, but you know, then heading on vacation for a little while. It'll be the journalism dead period as well.
No doubt.
Everybody's dead period coming up, and we appreciate your time today. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Jason,
no problem,
thanks.
Anytime. John, we'll talk to you later.
All right, bud.
Anytime.
Jason Cole, NFL analyst from Bleacher Report. Join us tomorrow night on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM for Jaguars Thursday. It's a full house tomorrow night. Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli, and myself. Tomorrow at 6 on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Now, we have to address this because there are a lot of Jaguar fans that are down on Jason Cole.
Sure.
But he's been at it in the league for a long, long, long time, and we appreciate his time today and his thoughts on Blake.
Yeah, I thought he had some interesting he got a chance to sit down with Blake. He tossed a lot of quarterbacks, and I thought his thoughts were pretty much dead on. It's great what Blake's doing, and he's doing all the right things, and he owns the situation, and now we got to see what he does in the field. And I thought it was interesting that he talked some about what goes on in Blake's head, and the voices that he hears, and I just wonder about you, frankly.
Oh, you don't want to know.
You're hearing some voices.
Oh, I've got some voices right now.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
I can imagine. It's a dark place.
Our thanks to Jason Cole. Aaron Coleman was fantastic as always. Of course, Brian Sexton.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah, sharing office with him. Brian Sexton and John Osier, for everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.